started and we're beginning to prepare a place to live. Reverend Bob, we thank you for your day today. We pray your direction and guidance to this meeting. We thank you for those who have come today for various reasons. We just pray for direction and wisdom in the decisions that we make. We pray for Commissioner Fields as he continues his rehab. We pray for Judge Woodson that you would be with him and heal him from the sickness that he's dealing with right now. We turn this agenda over to you. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Say welcome to everyone. Today, our second meeting of the month of October, 22nd, 2018, and it's 9 a.m. We'll move right along into our agenda. I'll begin with item number one, which is our time for public comments and or requests for information on non-agenda items. In accordance with our Constitution Act, anyone like to address the court at this time on non-agenda items? Catherine, would you like to take this opportunity? Catherine Kranz is running for office. I met her the other day. She said she would be visiting various commissioners' court meetings, and she came to ours today, so welcome, Catherine.
Well, thank you very much. Good morning. I won't take this much time at all. I've been here, so I'll make sure everyone knows who I am. I am running for U.S. House of Representatives, Texas District 4, and that is 18 counties all across Northeast Texas, including Titus County. I have spent the last year visiting with community leaders and judges and commissioners and mayors and attending commissioners' court meetings all across the district. This is number 17 of 18. So I finally made it right before voting started, so I'm very excited about that. Although I have spent quite a bit of time in Titus County. Early voting starts today. Don't have to vote for me, but I hope everyone in this room is an active participant in our democracy and gets out and vote. It's really important. And I just want to say that my entire purpose of running is to divert resources into our small towns. I live in Emory, Texas, and we are underfunded in every way. Emergency services, roads, schools, bridges, everything. And I think we need somebody that's going to be a champion for our small towns. And that's what I'm doing. So I come to the commissioner's court, I sit, I listen, and I try to figure out ways that we can do better for our towns. And that's what I'm here. I'm just going to sit and listen. I appreciate it. And thank you very much. And I really enjoy this time. I hope to come back and see many more times.
Thank you. Appreciate you being here. Anyone else?
Well, Brian, I can introduce Lynette.
Lynette's here, all right.
Yes, Lynette will be interesting. She is the county auditor of Kent County, and we talked about it last time. We're going to switch. Christy's going to become the auditor of Kent County, and Lynette is going to come over here and work for Christy's position at Titus County, and we're very happy to have her. And we're sad to lose Christy. And they're going to work. I mean, it's worked out really well because they're working with each other, showing each other what needs to be done in Kent County, and Christy's showing them what has to be done, and how we do things over in Titus County. It's worked out real well, and they'll be able to train each other over the next 3 months. And then the transition will be official January 2nd, I guess. Anyway, we're very glad to have her. I want to introduce her to the court.
Nice to meet you all. See you around and remind us say hi and introduce ourselves, and she gets to know everybody. So,
nice to meet all of you.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right, we'll move right on into item number two. We consider our minutes from the last meeting. So this is to consider and possibly approve minutes from October 5, our last meeting, Commissioner's Court. Motion is made for approval by Commissioner Parker. Second by Commissioner Applewhite. All in favor of approval of the set of minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Item number three, the court has voted to withdraw the debt better. Vote is not. Let me back.
Again, I've been working on. Down the road, 1250, we finished all of that. And process the gravel for Bombay, back to the roadway. We are currently adding bottom ash to a couple of soft spots that we have out there. That's currently right in some of the park. This will service and sewer. We're currently hauling out also the County Road 1820 and County Road 1910. Both of these roads are in bad shape. Depending on the weather, we'll start processing roadway, bone bag. I'm not sure if we're going to be able to do it every night, just kind of depends on the weather. Or we'll just spread the rack out and break it down with a grid roller and small pieces. We're trying to continue to run four mowers. We'll start side cutting again. We currently have two side covers that run, so we've got two in the shop. And basically, we're planning on concentrating on patching potholes all over the county. I know we got potholes everywhere right now. Today and tomorrow, we're going to have every road and bridge in and out patching potholes. And that's about all I got. Do you have any questions for me?
Your side cutters, what's it going to take to get those up and running?
Time to get the parts in, get them put back together.
Do you need them this time of the year or trying to get them repaired or just...
Yeah, I run the side covers all through last winter. You know, I mean, brush don't have to have leaves on it to cut it, so...
So we're not holding off repairing those, we're trying to...
No, we're trying to get all the parts in, trying to get them done. And once we get them done, I pretty much side cut all last winter, I'll side cut all this winter too.
Right, will you stand out here though?
Yes.
Questions, comments, Joe?
Only thing I've got is, we received a letter from the Hintons, last Wednesday, about the agreement we've made with them about not getting the ditches and, supposedly one of the tractors when they were mowing drove down through the ditch there and they've sent some letters on us to address that. I want to offer my apologies for not having been on complete top of it. I knew they were in my precinct, but the last time that I saw them, they were still over around the Cookeville area. And so...
What exactly was done and was not acceptable?
They just rutted it up. They drove down through the ditch there that...
Well, they were cutting or what it was?
Yeah, well, they were shredding down that...
Shredding the right one?
Yeah.
Did they get off the right one?
It's under your definition of where the right one is at.
That's, you know, what we got into before. It was the definition of the right way. And it's close to it, I'll put it that way. I can't tell exactly, and not knowing exactly where the right way is, I can't say for sure, but that's from what we discussed in this, it is in on their property.
Had they not said anything, and if you had been there, would you have observed them doing something you didn't want them to do?
Well, I
didn't tell them that.
I'll ask you too. I'm just curious where each of us stand.
According to this agreement, I would pull them off right at their property line and have them go down the road and just pass the property line. So, you know, go back up is what I would have done.
I'm curious what y'all...
I told my guys to just skip it.
In the future or just
not always, just skip it.
Well, and they were over there, but they were still over there.
Apparently they
didn't skip it.
Apparently they didn't skip it.
Well, is there a happy medium between you and some kind of service over there cutting right of ways that we need to?
Well, she told me the other day that it looked like that they probably had been mowing pretty much up to our, you know, up to the right way. And so, you know, with the mowers that they were using that they had the day before, and I guess they had changed. I guess it was...
I had a 15-foot back wing and a 10-foot.
Yeah, I think it took a 10-foot and probably mowed right at the edge. That's something that I probably need to get with them and just find out what, if they want to mow all the way get one past it and...
On side cut, on motor, just skip it.
Do you think that's what they want, or do they want some kind of limited service?
I think they understood, when she was the one that made us sign the agreement, the way I understood it, whenever we signed that, we just supposed to skip it, that motor, that would do anything to it.
It happened that we didn't skip it, if that's what your guys have been told.
New guy.
No, we don't, then a new guy.
Yeah.
If
John was ahead of him, then, you know, John might not even pay any attention, and he may not know where it started at, so.
Judge, they know about this far off the edge, but the parking for us.
Yeah.
That one, just about this way. That's all that they know.
Well, whatever it takes for these people not to be unhappy with us, I think that's what we ought to really work hard to do. I don't know the situation, haven't been out there, I'm not gonna go out there, but I will ask them, with the sensitive of the subjects as this has been, let's figure out a way to not let this happen.
We can put no mow signs up right there, it needs painting, so. Our guys, whoever's out there, remember not to mow it.
I'll leave that up to you all.
We'll get down to another location in the county already with some lawnmowers, so.
Questions, comments?
Do I have no mow signs, Jim?
Do what?
And then add a mow, no mow sign?
That'd be fine. I tell you what, I'll try to talk to them today and see if that's, you know, if they're gonna do that. And that way we can I'll be with you then, so we can find out for sure.
All right, we're complete with the report. Let's move on into item number four. Did we get a bid for John Deere bid? All right. This was a follow-up for a provider for this emulsified asphalt. Apparently, Vergon is the only supplier. Nonetheless, we wanted to get a bid from them, and so we do have a bid from Vergon Asphalt and Emulsions Incorporated. Federal environmental fee will be added to the above. steps and landing have experienced significant deterioration over the years, and repair or replacement is necessary. As requested, the following is our proposal to do a preliminary investigative work for the north entry steps of the courthouse. This preliminary investigation will reveal if a repair will be adequate or if complete replacement of the entrance will be required. Upon completion of the scope of work described below, we will have information needed to produce design documents. These documents can be used as the basis for bidding and construction. A separate design fee will be provided at that time if requested. So here's the scope of this investigative work. Again, this isn't to repair it. We've got to do some looking into the problem and decide what's the best course. Item one will core drill two holes in the landing and two holes in the steps to investigate the thickness, condition of concrete, and reinforcement status. Bush hammer isolated locations of the steps and landing to determine the extent of the pre-install damage. Perform rebound hammer test to estimate compressive strength of the concrete in place. Investigate fill material below steps, patch holes after the inspection, and then draft a report of findings and provide preliminary repair recommendations. Some of these items will be performed by a contractor rather than by the Calvert in Prefert Complex Designs. Contractor costs are anticipated to be less than $3,250 and will be billed as reimbursable expense to the county at cost without markup. In other words, Prefert Complex Designs will bill us for this. Here are the fees for Mr. Calvert's services as a licensed structural engineer. We propose completing the tasks on an hourly basis at the following rates: a licensed engineer at $135 per hour, an engineering intern at $90 per hour, and a structural designer at $80 per hour. Total costs for engineering services will not exceed $4,750. If you have any questions regarding the scope of the fee structure, please feel free to contact me to discuss. We appreciate the opportunity to assist. If this proposal is acceptable, please indicate the court's acceptance by signature below. So this, we'll hope that this can be a repairable situation and not one that requires replacement of those front steps, but nonetheless, this is an important entry point and we do need to get it fixed. I think we're all in agreement utilizing local Prefert Complex Designs and Mr. Calvert, who would be comfortable with him. Question is, do you feel comfortable with the course of action they've outlined here?
When he was here, he implied, I understood him, I might have misunderstood him, but anyway, that we, that the repair, there was a way to repair it, he used the term 10 years, probably.
I think that was his best guess at this point. Obviously, he'll know more after they actually core into that. I would say, ideally, we leave those steps in place, we bust off the flaking concrete, refill it, epoxy it with some kind of seal where it won't continue to happen, and I guess that would be a best case scenario if you look at what I call repair there, versus him saying, you know what, we've got to demo the entire set of steps out there and start over, which would obviously be a lot more costly. So we're going to hope for a repair, but they're not going to tell us what to do, and I don't think we should just do a repair until we know a little bit more about how bad the problem is, so that we can make, you know, a wise decision. We don't want to throw more money after a problem that's not going to last.
I want to clarify, we did get a bid
clear up the, all the...
Well, I think going through this process will further define for us exactly the work needs to be done. And at that point, we'll make it clear to anybody who's uttered a word about interest in this project, okay, we now have a set of engineer drawings, it's what needs to be done, and we welcome any and all comers when it comes down to a bit of the work to be done to repair or replace.
Well, I'm just going to just need to clarify.
Let me clarify this. You gave a bid of a whole lot, $147,000. Little things that David has showed you that need to be done around the courthouse. And specifically, I don't know what his bid was there.
$9,500.
$9,500. It was here. Wasn't problem, and I didn't understand. And I agree with that. I don't know what the best way to do.
Right.
You can do it. It's a lot more than anybody else here, but it's a...
Well, I'm glad he gave us a bid. There's nothing wrong with him having given us a bid. But after we had an engineer look at it, you know, his repair job may be exactly what's called for when it's all said and done. But then again, there may be a different route in a repair. And we'll go back to Big Dog and we'll ask him, okay, we appreciate that first bid. We still want to see you bid this job. But here's what the engineer does for that. That'd be great. All right, what do you all want to do here?
I make a motion to be approved, Mr. Gallagher.
Okay, motion is made by Commissioner Riddle to approve this proposal. The Creeper Complex Designs and Lynn Calmer is made. Second by Commissioner Parker. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Very good. That's a good plan.
Historical grant.
Because that's for historical, if we've already changed the whole looks of this courthouse over the 18th.
I didn't know. Someone asked me that the other day, and I said, well, I'm not for certain.
I'm going to ask.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a mandatory fix. This is a safety issue as well as a deterioration issue. Okay, item number six. Still around, the bridge lawsuit. Bridge too short, going on the railroad tracks on Highway 271 South. After months and months, the work continues to move forward. We've got at least six parties involved in this lawsuit. And our attorney, Mr. Bob Bass, has arranged for mediation, or at least we'll attempt to mediation. And this is scheduled for next Tuesday in Houston. And he has asked that we have an authorized representative to represent the county. The plan is for myself and for Carl to go and attend this mediation. And this will not be a courtroom setting, but for those of you that have participated in mediation, we engaged in some of this back during right-of-way purchase on the loop. We engaged in this in another lawsuit involving an automobile wreck that one of our deputy constables was involved in. And basically, a mediator is hired and goes back and forth between the two parties who are housed in different rooms to see if there could be some agreement reached.
take action. Now, I envision if we get close to agreement, that I'll get you guys notified somehow, someplace, so that you know what we're doing, and I don't want to come home if we're fortunate enough to come to a resolution. I don't want anybody disappointed in this. So, my suggestion would be myself, one of you, travel to Carl. He specifically asked for Carl to be there. But nonetheless, let's authorize one person to speak on behalf of the county.
I'd make a motion that you and Carl go do.
Okay. Motion's made by Commissioner Riddle to authorize Carl and the county judge to represent the county in this mediation that will be on the 30th of October in Houston, related to the South 271 bypass bridge lawsuit. Second is made by Commissioner Applewhite. All in favor, say aye. I have no idea how this will go, so don't expect this to necessarily be over next Tuesday, but that should be good if we can go forward. But this is the first step. Item number 7, discuss senior citizens meal center repair and maintenance and possible action. This is just kind of a general item here. There's not a particular specific repair and maintenance request. James Webster came to me and said, you know, I kind of need to know what you all want me to do. He said, I don't know who owns this cooking equipment down here and when it goes down, who needs to fix it. So will you all please give me some direction as to, do I tell the people cooking the food and providing those meals, sorry, you have to fix that broken oven or that broken steam table or that broken bin of hood, whatever the case may be? Or do we have the authority to, or does he have the authority to go ahead and get any repairs that are necessary underway to get the problem fixed so that they can get back cooking that food as quickly as possible? My personal opinion, if we want to be in the business of providing a senior citizens meal center, providing meals to those folks that come, then we ought to be willing to keep the place maintained and make repairs as needed to continue that process and not argue with them as to whose responsibility this is. We did have a steam table that keeps the water hot and the serving line needed a repair, and we did go ahead and repair that, but I wanted some clarification from you all as to future repairs there.
Last time when we read that, I looked it up and I don't remember the number. They get about $6 million grant from the government from several different grants, and I don't remember the numbers. But I think that it's pretty nice that we furnish a place for them to run their business. And they are a company that makes money from doing this. So we're likely to have it out. I guess they used to do it out of Franklin County. And I think there, they've got all the investment going on. I think that these people should have to take some responsibility to pay, I guess, the utility. I don't know whether they're reimbursed for all of them or not. We maintain it, fix the roof. Start leaking it down, we're fixing that. I mean, I think we should do the building. I'm not sure how much of the tools they use, but they should have used it instead of us.
Well, the entity that took over after NETO has now said, you know, we can't continue on, you need to find somebody else. They have found somebody else. The price per meal that they receive is actually very, very low. If you would like to have somebody from ATCOP come down and explain this process a little bit more, I'd be happy to do that, and I'm sure they would be glad to address you all. So I don't know much about the money in this deal, but on a per meal don't feed a large number down there, but it is on a daily basis, and they deliver meals, they feed meals there at the center. And again, I appreciate your comments. What would you like to do as far as answering James's question?
I'd like to find out how much they do get, and how many, you know, they've got several locations. This is what outfit does now, that they serve meals. Marsh County's one of them, there's others. Yeah, I'd like to get a detail of how much they do get.
Not a bad idea. I don't think any of us really know. It'd be a good time for us to be aware of how this works.
Who is the new, do you know who the new person, people are?
I can tell you when they come.
Yeah, I don't know what that name is. You know, the other one was Senior Citizen Services out of Texarkana, and I don't know what the new arrangement is.
Okay.
It's fairly recent, but it'd be a good time for us to get educated. Anybody else have a question here? I mean, if I will arrange for that as far as the issue that I'm asking for here until we get information that makes us want to change our mind, I would ask that you authorize James to make the necessary repairs as they come up so that, you know, unless they're over a certain dollar amount, if you want to establish a dollar amount that you can't exceed to get this stuff fixed, or if you want to say, no, we're not fixing anything down there. I just need to tell him something. We can change our minds and go a different course after you hear from Adcock. I don't want to table it. I want to be, a decision has to be made every time something breaks. Either we're going to fix it or we're not going to fix it.
Well, I think we need to continue to take care of our senior citizens, but I would like to know a little more about it. But for now, I'd make a motion to project to go ahead and get these fixed.
Okay. You want to put a dollar threshold on those repairs?
$1,000.
My motion is made by Jimmy to authorize James to make repairs and repairs as needed to equipment at the Senior Citizens Meal Center up to $1,000 without court approval.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Applewhite. All in favor say aye. Item number 8, considering possibly approved December 2018 educational travel expenses for new justices of the peace taking office in January 19. We have a situation where we've got not one, but two brand new justices of the peace that will take office on January 1. They have some mandatory education that has to be done within that first year, and their first education opportunity is in December of 2018. So we have this situation that we dealt with before, I think on a smaller scale, where do we pay for educational expenses and travel expenses before someone takes office? And I don't remember where this educational opportunity is. It's not here in Mount Pleasant, and I think it may be a week long. So we're talking about some significant travel expense to send somebody for a week of meals and hotel and travel. And we have Irma Dunn will be impacted, and then either Steve Hagan or Tracy Craig will be the other one. And in my opinion, this is something we ought to pay for. We want to get these people up to speed as quickly as we possibly can and not say, sorry, you're going to have to miss that December training. We're not willing to pay for it because you're not an officer.
it's not required. There won't be any other training times, like.
I don't remember what that schedule is. The next one is like February or March or something like that. But again, you're delaying necessary information. Now, why would the state of Texas schedule new Justice of the Peace training in the month of December before they take office? Obviously, I think they think it's important.
I agree with that. When I didn't know what they was talking about, I said, in January, to go down that training in February, and I didn't know the words every year. Didn't know the meaning of them. So the next year, I understood.
Well, I know when I went into office, it would have been nice to have got some December training, but people wasn't available until January. They got it going pretty quickly. But this may be the first time that they've done this. I don't know, but we all know that JP is a complex job, and they're going to have to hit the ground running. I think we need to approve their travel and expenses before they take office.
Who made that motion?
Motion made by Commissioner Applewhite to approve, and I'll get Irma at least to put together some kind of idea for us as to what the travel will cost and what the sign-up is and how much the hotel bill is, so that we can see that at the next meeting. But I would like to be able to tell her to go ahead and make your arrangements for that. So a motion is made to approve those expenses by Commissioner Applewhite.
No, second.
Second is by Commissioner Parker. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Item number nine. We, in our negotiations or our discussions with Higginbotham Insurance, they introduced us to an ambulance benefit for both local ambulance services and CareFlight ambulance services in, you know, dire emergency situations. And they introduced something called MASA, MASA. They referred to it as a add-on benefit for employees, much like benefits that are offered through Colonial. This would be a benefit that would be paid for on a voluntary basis by the employee. There is not a cost to the county. But here's the situation that's come up. We've already had one retiree who will be retired after January 1 say, can we participate in that, and can we purchase that? So that we have opportunity for that benefit. And as we age, we'd like to have the comfort of knowing we've got a backup ambulance service, because most of these ambulance services are, in fact, virtually all of them are going to be out of network, and it's going to be a huge bill to that employee should they ever need that ambulance benefit. So, if someone is retired and we know that it requires a monthly premium, are we going to allow retirees to participate in this MASA ambulance benefit? And if you do, how can we relieve our accounting and auditor payroll department from the headache of trying to get money out of a retiree who does not have a paycheck and we can't withhold that monthly premium from him? So do you want to even offer this to retirees? And if you do, what would you be willing to, what would be a reasonable request of that retiree to give them this benefit and yet minimize the administrative burden? Let me read to you what Jessica with Higginbotham said, just to reassure you. I asked her, wanted to make sure that the MASA benefit, there is no cost to the county. Judge Lee doesn't see any reason why the retirees could not take advantage of it, but, and if the, let's see, and if the commissioner's court needs to approve it. So she says, no, the county does not pay anything toward the MASA.
Since almost all ambulance services are not in carrier's networks, the claim for transportation would be run as out of network. This would provide very little payment, and obviously it would be a heavy burden to the employee. Now, I don't know, first of all, we have to have a minimum number of employees participate in this, don't we, Christie, in order to even take advantage of it. I can't remember if it's either 5 or 10. I would think that they'll be able to get enough people to sign up.
I think so. From just what I've been hearing, I think that that's, it's a hit. I think everybody is signing up for that.
I haven't asked Shannon about it, but the retirees are already having to be.
What they would do, like, right now, they'll write, the retirees will write Cheryl a check for their dependents on medical and dental. And like, if they were a retiree on Colonial, they work that out with Colonial. They pay them directly. So with this, I don't know if it's where you can pay MASA directly, or what they would do, would just add. So, I mean, they could figure out what their premium would be and add that to the check that they give Cheryl. So, I mean, that would just.
But if they don't have any of those other items, and this is a one-of-a-kind deal.
Well, they'll just bring you that money, and if she notices in 2 or 3 months that they're skipping and not paying, then we have the right, or work it out to where we drop them. I mean. They're gonna drop them, yeah. Yeah, because that's the other thing with, but if we get the bill to pay MASA, we would have to make sure that they were paid and then deduct them, because we didn't get the money from them. So we would have to watch that to see. We've got about 11, I'm not sure who's gonna sign up for that, but there's about 11 retirees.
Well, what if we ask for a one-year premium upfront? That was what my idea was, to say, if you want to participate in this.
Yeah, that would be good.
12 months upfront.
Because any of the rates are not that.
It's not high.
It's not high.
I think it's like $16 a month.
I mean, the highest one is like 31.
A small amount of money, it's just one more thing for sharing. Oh, I haven't gotten that check from so-and-so yet. I've got to call them. Oh, they're not home. I'm leaving a message. Oh, I got to call them again. Well, do I drop them? I haven't heard from them. So I would like to see you say yes, they can have the MSA, MASA benefit with prepayment upfront for the calendar year. Motion's made to approve that. Any discussion? Motion made by Commissioner Parker. Second by Commissioner Applewhite. All in favor say aye. Okay, so she got that. Of course, it is approving the MASA benefit for retirees with prepayment of 1 year at the beginning of the calendar year. Item number 10, consider possibly approved holidays for 2019. That time again, we have not added any holidays here, right? You just want to know. This will be 2019 calendar year, New Year's Day, January 1, would be observed on Tuesday, January 1. That means we'll be working on Monday the 31st and off on January 1.
Commissioners Court dates for 2019. Every one of these would be on the standard second and fourth Monday with these exceptions. I would recommend a move to May 24th, the Friday before the Monday holiday. October 11th, as we did here a couple weeks ago, Friday before the Monday normal meeting. And then November 8th, Friday before the normal meeting. So my personal preference is to get those meetings on Friday rather than coming back on Tuesday, but that's just my proposal here.
Motion to approve.
Motion is made by Commissioner Parker to approve that read.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Applewhite. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right, item number 12, we're down to our oral reports to the county officials.
There's probably still a few, but yeah, most of them are in. A lot of them are on bills on this tax one just paid.
I think the item is on the cash disbursement for road and bridge on precinct one. $2,301.
It's probably your salary.
Huh?
Your salary, because that's all that's paid out of your precinct.
$300 is probably your mileage.
Mileage. Anything that's coming out of yours is just your salary and your mileage. That's all that we have budgeted for the precincts. For the commissioners. If you look at yours on that cash position that Carl gave you, by precinct one, it will show what items other than payroll has been taken out of there. I can't remember if I had anything this time that I wrote over there in parentheses, in brackets.
There's nothing right to explain. Another time.
Okay.
Treasurer's report by Commissioner Applewhite. Second by Commissioner
they take some tires, they won't take tires out of the dump. Citizens don't take the tires, they have to bring them to us or. They did bring them, they know it's supposed to be, they filled up the dump to fill it with that.
We need to, be open whenever they bring them, I don't want them to bring them back, then they're gonna just dump, tire companies will dump.
Well, I think we would probably, I would envision promoting a tire disposal week and have them bring them to a centralized point. And I'll find out, who is the company that we hired before to dispose of all the yard?
Judge, I can look that up, I think they're out of Paris.
That's the only one that I.
That's the only one, I think, that when Philip Hinton was here, that we could find to do that, and we budget that in the maintenance barn where we have that. But I'll go back and run that.
Last year, I called a guy in Dallas to get a comparison with this guy, and he said, yeah, we'll call you back. For a couple of weeks, I called him again, and they didn't know.
Well, the one in Paris is the one that Todd recommends, and I don't know if they come here and grind them up, or if they just pick them up and haul them back to Paris, not that it matters.
But the ones that get hauled back to Paris.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, they bring the van in, and the sheriff was loading. They got, they put a day one out there, loaded in the trailer, and then they hauled back.
We'll worry about the details of how it works later on, but as far as going ahead and telling Todd, yes, we do want to participate, and we'll spend that $4,500 on tire cleanup, that will pay with y'all.
I've got one question, Judge, it's been brought to my attention more than once since the city shut the recycle and all up there. And I don't know if there's anything we can do, but they've been asking me about newspapers and paper goods, recycling it. And a lot of people were doing it, and now then they can't. And that's something that I thought of when you sent that email about the other day.
Well, if you'll recall, as we discussed the recycling effort, unless somebody just wants to do their part to save the earth, there is no economic benefit to the county nor to the company that provides such services to do this. And we're just simply not small enough, even in the large communities, recycling is becoming a no-win deal, and many larger communities are dropping this. So, unless you just want to provide a recycling bin for your citizens because it makes them feel good about what they're doing, again, there's nothing that's going to benefit us. It is going to be nothing but an expense to us, and that's exactly what the city found out. And they're continuing to offer some kind of trash pickup services for their citizens, but like you said, they have not offered that to the county. And it's simply a matter of cost. If they were making money off of it or even break even, I'm sure they would say, yeah, y'all come on and bring as much as you want to bring, but that is not the case.
Back to the tires, I suggest you let them bring tires anytime out of the shop, because if you don't, they're going to throw them in the cover. I suggest it be open, they can just bring them anytime they want to, or we pile them up behind the maintenance building, the citizens.
Would there be a place where the citizens could bring those after hours? I mean, could we make it real obvious and easy for them, maybe out in that grassy area up front?
I'd be afraid to do that.
Because they'd be, like I said, different tire places, the over buttons, being piled on up.
Okay.
That's what we're trying to get
abused.
Yes, we're doing abused, because if they got, we've had truckloads of just dumped on the side of the road, and like I said, it's.
Some of the calculations that, I mean, they, rather than trying to get theirs recycled or whatever, or redone, they just find a place to get rid of it. If they're not being, I mean, some of our bigger tire places, you know, they've got somebody that comes in just like we have and does it, but these others,
Exactly.
So she know the little bit, Thursday will be dumping a pile of tire.
Just because that's why I had to have plans where you can log in who's bringing stuff.
Right.
And because what you're going to run into, we've had problems in the past with these tire places, giving one local Mary Wells $50 to haul off a load of tires that would have cost them $800 or $900 to actually take it to recycle. Well, that side, load size is still the same, and that person that got $50 for it, they've got everything thrown in their pastures and their road ditches to stack them up in their living rooms. And when we, if we provide a place for dispose of them, they're going to collect their $50 and they're going to go dump them on us. So unless you can, like I said, kind of keep track of who's coming in and out of those tires, or if you can establish what's a business, or for that matter, what's an individual. Because if any individual is bringing in 60 tires a week, they're no longer an individual. They're a generator. I mean, they're in business. You know, if you got an individual that brings in four wear-out product tires a month, or a cracker tire or something, so be it. But if, when you get the ones that are coming in every 2 or 3 days with the trailer load, they're doing that to avoid going through the proper channel.
Let's discuss another issue. It's these trash people that we've got. We've got papers and trash facilities and stuff. I've seen a lot of trailers that are over top, and the trash is just rolling out the top of them.
Are these commercial trash collectors?
Yes, yeah. And, you know, they got, I think if they're going to have this, they need to have an enclosed pulley trailer, even at the top. Because I stopped a couple of them and said, if you don't, the trash is just blowing out. And it's more trash to get on the county roads, the highways and the county roads. And they're not going back to pick them up. They're just blowing out. They got a car and the car comes up and blows it out. And there's got to be a way or something that we can make them do the right thing if they're hauling trash. Our streets and land highways get bad. There's trash.
Do you know who these companies are?
There's two of them that's got trailers. Box of one got a pretty big side on the side, and the other like a 4 foot side on the landscape trailer with a park over the top of it.
Next time you see one, I would suggest you get a phone number or some sense, and you got to go back to the management rather than
right.
Driving that truck.
Right.
But you can do that and then you can figure out the way.
Well, I know they got that living too, but it's cost us some money. We've got trash and trash we ever had on the highway.
What we've done and been doing here the last several months, I suppose, is they're either siding for illegal dumping, for littering noise, or siding for unsecured road. Generally, when I catch them, if they're at the road speed and it's not tarped, they're going to get hit for unsecured road. You know, if they're stopping every 15 feet, picking up trash, I understand why that tarp's not pulled back. But when they, you know, when they're out of 127 running 50 miles an hour, they're, you know, all the hatches need to be backed out. And that's pretty much how we know that they're pieces of paint on that. But again, you've got one company's got a fleet of those high-sided utility trailers. And there's another one that is pretty much a long proprietorship. Guys, you know, one man show doing it. And, you know, it's hard to catch all of them, one, you know, each time when this is going on.
So you all are enforcing it when you find it.
Well, I don't know, yes.
So this bunch of electric, you know, just blows. It's not just a little, it's a bunch. I picked up a big bag on the road after. It's just not going to be hit and it's scattered everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's not picking up myself. It's already trash it either. That would be 55-gallon drum trash bag.
Could you mention that to the state?
What's that?
The trash along the highway.
They've got
they've got, at certain times of year, I think they got people that go by, they're allocated to pick them up.
$5,000?
Yes.
County tax?
On the farm roads.
Yes.
They're supposed to, they've got a lot of people picks it up in the whole farm roads.
Can anything be done about those that throw the empty feed sack in the back and then drive it down the road until, you know, it flies off? I mean, is there any mentality level on stopping that?
I mean, the sheriff department, if they see it happen, then, you know, they could.
Yeah, when it blows out the bed of the truck in front of you, that's pretty much a given there.
Please stick it on me.
Let me wrap up these comments here. I want to give you a report on Commissioner Fields. Let me tell you what his daughter, Susan, has told me. This is quoting Susan, who was sending me a text earlier today. Mike is doing better each day. Yesterday, he was eating in the dining area. When we got there, he is able to stand on his own without assistance. He can move his right arm and right hand, but doesn't have full control yet. His face still has pretty severe paralysis, but will continue to improve over time. His speech is much better now. He can say the sounds B and P, and you can understand him. Possibly looking at going home Friday afternoon, and will begin daily outpatient rehab. His team of doctors will be meeting to discuss it this week. He said he is ready to come home. He still gets pretty emotional when he sees the grandkids and great grands. He told me yesterday he is so happy to still be here. I guess still be here, be still be alive, not still be at that rehab facility. And I asked her about visitors and exactly where he is. He is able to have visitors and he does enjoy getting to talk to people. However, that schedule is different every day, so there is no specific time to give for visits. You just have to go and wait for him if he is busy in physical therapy. He is at UT Health in Tyler, formerly ETNC Tyler. It is in the Olympic Plaza Rehab Facility, located across the skywalk, room 402. So I guess if he gets what he wants, he'll be home this weekend and will begin some outpatient rehab. So that's all excellent news. Please keep Judge Woodson in your prayers. He is not out of the woods by a long shot. I was there in his room on Saturday. He has been taken off of sedation medicine so that he can wake up and hopefully will wake up, but he is not conscious yet, although they have seen some slight improvement. There is still no determination as to what will be the extent of his damage once they get him back conscious. So, still a serious need for miraculous recovery there. Early voting has begun. Don't forget about that in our nice facility there across the street. And then regular voting will begin, of course, we'll have one day on the 6th. I'll remind you guys, it is that time again to have our December training at the Ag Life Extension offices. Early registration, $40 before November 30th. If you will let Carolyn know, she will make those arrangements for you. But we are hosting this District 4 Northeast Texas Continuing Education Conference, and we'll have our typical good presentations there from 8:30, a lunch, and wrap up about 8:15. That will be December the 6th, the first Thursday of the month, as they always do that. Okay. Save the date.